Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA is recorded in New York City on August 23rd, 2017. Once again, I want to remind you about our website, gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. Learn a lot more about our show, and hopefully you find it interesting, and drop us a line and let us know what you thought. So now here's Ann Northrup and Andy Helm with this week's LGBT News. Enjoy.
And we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
We're still here. We hope you are, too.
We're not giving up until they go away.
Well, this is the week when President Trump escalated our war on Afghanistan while continuing his assault on LGBT rights and his support for what he calls the fine people in the neo-Nazi movement.
It's really unbelievable. Every week, you know, we used to worry about having enough news in the summer, but they keep on giving. Sadly, other news that keeps happening, Guinevere River Song is the 17th transgender woman murdered in the United States this year.
Police in New York were judged to have beaten a gay man in Brooklyn in 2013 and lied about it.
Imagine.
Police also shot to death a knife-wielding transgender woman in St. Louis. And back in New York, they busted a man threatening to kill gay cops and others.
Police in Martin County, Florida, that's where Port St. Lucie is, have arrested 45 gay men in a sting over a couple of months for cruising in a park.
Yes, they have videotapes and they seem to enjoy them. Lots of notable passings, including transgender pioneer Holly Boswell, an award-winning Broadway producer and a gay Republican strategist who specialized in electing anti-LGBT bigots.
That's right. He was gay, but he elected homophobic politicians. And Australia is even more of a mess. The postal referendum on same-sex marriage has not even been sent out. But the campaign, it has gotten very ugly already, as we feared. That was the reason we fought against this.
We will see if we can stop it in its tracks in the courts. Two world leaders marched in the Montreal Pride Parade.
LGBT pride marches were attacked in Russia and Uganda.
The use of Truvada as PrEP is increasing, but mostly among white gay men and less among people of color who need it the most.
And we went to see Michael Moore's Broadway show, The Terms of My Surrender, and we'll tell you what we thought about it. Hint, we didn't walk out.
No. 2 hours. Now let's give the president some credit. He proved he can be a racist without Steve Bannon around. Right?
Over and over and over again. He just keeps doing it. Keep those monuments, those beautiful monuments. Don't destroy our history and heritage.
And I want to, our friend Arthur Leonard, the law professor, gay legal expert, has posted that he is hearing from the clerks of Justice Anthony Kennedy that he intends to resign at the end of the next term, which will end in the spring or summer of
June of 2018. Yeah.
Which would give the Republican president, whoever that might be, the chance to appoint without the chance to elect a Democratic Senate to block it.
It's
bad news.
Very bad news, and we're going to be in terrible shape for a long time. But as Trump is making all these pronouncements, these racist pronouncements, there is resistance. We've talked about all the business leaders who resigned from his council but are now calling him privately to say, let's get together.
For what?
Because they want to do deals and they want to promote tax reform and all of that.
Tax cuts
to the rich. For the businesses and the rich. But the Kennedy Center honorees spoke out, and now the president and his wife have both canceled their attendance at the Kennedy Center honors and canceled the White House reception beforehand.
He goes to these settings where he is going to meet no opposition. That's what he does.
Yeah.
That's what most presidents do, quite frankly. Seriously, I mean, it was wonderful to be able to get to boo Ronald Reagan when he gave his first aid speech in, 6 years into the crisis, but most presidents don't put themselves in that position.
I booed Richard Nixon on the street.
Did you? While he was president?
Yes.
Really?
1970 or 71. Yeah. I was just yelling at him from, you know, it was an anti-war thing.
He was another warmonger.
Yeah. It's a high time that people stood up politically in these situations, and I'm glad. And yeah, the idea of Trump sitting at the Kennedy Center honors or holding a reception for these people is so... you can't imagine it.
It does show that it's the Kennedy Center that picks these honorees, not the president. The president has glommed onto the thing all these years. And, you know, even Barbara Streisand accepted it when Bush was president.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, but that... And look, I'm not highly in favor of papering over the sins of these more genteel Republicans... as we have done for years. The fact that this guy stands out as a boor and a crude human being makes it easier for people to go against him.
Also a criminal. And I'm with Rachel Maddow in this case. I mean, people aren't talking about this enough. When he called up and started yelling at McConnell in the Senate, and they had their screaming match, it was over, I'm unhappy with this investigation you're doing in the Senate.
Yes.
That is obstruction of justice.
Well, and they're talking about that, and they're talking about Ben Carson being at the Phoenix rally as a violation of the Hatch Act, because officials like that are not supposed to be at campaign events, and he was introduced by his title, and that's illegal.
Let's just stop worrying about it. The Alaska permafrost is thawing, and ancient carbon is going to be released into the atmosphere.
Let's go through a few more of these things. So, and the Arts Commission resigned, too, in toto, and that was
a good thing.
But
not the Religious Advisory Committee.
No.
They're
the evangelicals
resigning.
Are hanging in.
The holy people.
Yeah.
They're not resigning. They're getting what they want.
Now, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which is a government organization, came out with a statement condemning his attempt to ban transgender people from serving in the military. And that was pretty stunning. A couple things. First of all, we have a viewer who reminds us appropriately, I think, periodically, that we ought to be a little cautious about endorsing people's service in the military, given what the United States military is doing around the world with all their killing of civilians and militarism and hegemony.
Yes.
So let me say that and agree with that attitude. At the same time, I am offended by inequality and discrimination. So,
and the reason it's news is because it's the conservative institutions that yield last. So it's news when, you know, people in religious groups agree to ordain gay people. Or marry gay people, even though we don't support these religions.
Right. So.
But we support your right to follow them.
We support everyone's right to freedom. But, yeah, we're not crazy about some of these institutions.
But, you know, but
I found so offensive in his Afghanistan speech, all his talk about loving all people and no bigotry, and military transcends all definitions.
Well, then when he gives the Phoenix speech, he basically says, I said all these things and they're not reporting it. Like, you know, I'm a wonderful person. I said what they told me to say at the point of a gun. And, you know.
Look, even MSNBC commentator Sam Stein sat there and said, the military support, you know, loving all people. He's kicking transgender people out of the military.
And, you know, most of what we do in Afghanistan is kill civilians.
Yes.
You know.
drone strikes.
It's not about securing peace in the nation.
And the other thing that's so strange.
You know, I feel for all these guys being and women being sent over there.
Absolutely, as cannon fodder.
For these, I don't know when there's going to be a rebellion against this. This is the longest war in American history, 17 years.
Well, it would be nice if some negotiated peace could be achieved. But
of course,
all the generals
on MSNBC and all the stations come on and say hey, this is a good move by Trump because it's going to help their pockets because most of them work for military contractors.
Well, it's only helpful if it promotes a settlement discussion because the Taliban has beaten the Russians, has beaten us for 16 years, and the minute we leave, they do take over, and what's worse, them or us?
I mean, you've listened to these discussions on other stations. We don't have to belabor it, but I mean, I don't think it's the way to build the peace.
Well, we certainly don't have all the answers.
We don't have all the answers.
Certainly not to that.
And, of course, the story before this was all about Trump's racism, and that's what he
was doing. Well, that's a lot of what this, all these people resigning is about. It's all about the Charlottesville reaction. One of the stories that horrified me most was this nonprofit organizations canceling their fundraising events at Mar-a-Lago. And I want to know, what was the American Red Cross doing holding an event at Mar-a-Lago in the first place? Not to mention the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Well,
we've heard bad things about that. The Salvation Army. The American Cancer Society has just canceled an event at Mar-a-Lago.
All the golf tournaments that are held at his golf courses around the world.
The Cleveland Clinic was holding a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago before just canceling. And the Palm Beach Zoo and Conservation Society, the Preservation Foundation of Palm Beach. Please, what are you doing associating with him in the first place?
To show you how much Trump doesn't give a damn about overcoming the hate groups in this country and ISIS and all those things, there's this one group run by an ex-neo-Nazi, Christian Picciolini. You've seen him on television. He got free of it, and he runs an anti-hate group called Life After Hate. Mm-hmm. And this is the group they chose to defund from the administration. And who made that decision? Catherine Gorka, who's married to, and she works
Sebastian
she
Gorka.
Works she works for the Department of Homeland Security and defunded this group.
Well, because were they getting funding for in the first place?
To fight hate. To help people overcome and get out of these groups and get out of these neo-Nazi groups. I mean, I know Trump sees many of them as fine people. I love what Mike Signorelli wrote this week. Because, Mike Signorelli, the columnist, was branded as an outer, for outing. And that was a word invented by Time magazine. We call it reporting when we talk about who's gay and who's not among these people. And he says he supports the use of the term outing when it comes to exposing these neo-Nazis, which is happening all across the country. And I think is going to back a lot of people up from publicly participating in some of these kinds of demonstrations.
I don't know. If that's your
philosophy.
Look
what happened in Boston.
Well,
40,000 people marching against,
fewer neo-Nazis than had been expected. I also just want to register my complaint about the commentators who, particularly the more conventional, moderate, so-called Republicans who go on TV and say, well, Trump is not a real Republican. Because they're trying to disassociate themselves from him and trying to claim some kind of moderation for the Republican Party.
80% of Republicans still support him.
Well, more importantly to me, he supports all their agenda. And to say he is not a Republican when he is in there trying to give tax cuts to the rich, build up the military, destroy health care, everything he's doing, that is the Republican agenda.
That's why McConnell is upset, because Trump is screwing up their push to do all these things.
Only because he's incompetent, because he doesn't want to do these things.
Because people don't want to be associated with him.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Well, he has another homophobic appointment to throw at us this week.
We have a picture of this guy, Sam Clovis. He's been nominated to be the chief scientist for the Department of Agriculture. He's not a scientist.
He's an Iowa talk radio host.
He believes homosexuality is a choice, and sanctioning of same-sex marriage could lead to the legalization of pedophilia. So is this something that, you know, people might be able to make a stand on in the Senate to stop? This guy is a complete horror show.
He says that employers should be allowed to not hire gay people or whomever they want because of religious freedom. More on that shortly.
And by the way, in terms of funding for fighting hate, Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez, a Democrat of New York, is seeking greater federal resources to address hate crimes. They want an extra $50 million to do this. And if Trump wants to show, if anybody, if the Republicans want to show, we are really against this, they need to come through with the funding for it. Of course, they can't even afford the Secret Service now.
Now, one of the people who laid the groundwork for all this mess we're in was Arthur Finkelstein, an out gay Republican political consultant.
A guy in we know him in New York, but he ran national campaigns. He ran campaigns in Israel. Got a picture of Arthur and his husband, Donald, there. Do you have that?
They'll put it in.
Okay. We've been fighting him all his life. He was in a 50-year relationship, and he eventually married his husband. Of course, everybody he supported, almost everybody, worked against gay rights and against the right to marry.
Well, he very happily and energetically worked to elect Al D'Amato from New York, Jesse Helms, Orrin Hatch,
Lorch Faircloth from North Carolina,
Strom Thurmond,
and of course Reagan and Nixon.
Yes.
So, all people who worked against our rights.
He died at 72. I would have guessed he was much older.
I thought he was at least 100.
He is lung cancer.
Now, this guy, in terms of craft, was a genius. I mean, he is the guy credited with turning the word liberal into a political epithet. Of course, I've always felt it was a bit of an epithet. I want people to be progressive and left, not just liberal.
Well, but he described the campaigns he ran as vicious and mean, negative, 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 because you can't possibly win otherwise. And so he attacked sitting Senator Jacob Javits in New York. There he is with his husband, Donald Currie.
He's on the left there. Yeah. Arthur's on the left. Yeah. Horrible guy.
He attacked Javits for being too old and sick to be reelected to the Senate.
And he was confronted about being gay and doing all these things. And, you know, I don't understand where this came from. Governor Deval Patrick, a Democrat from Massachusetts, appointed his husband to a commission on LGBT youth. Did you marry a liberal?
Well, I found fascinating his explanation of political combat and how to win, because I think it's something we need to keep in mind now. The most overwhelming fact in politics is what people do not know, he told college students in Prague. In politics, it's what you perceive to be true that's true, not truth. Sound familiar? If I tell you one thing is true, you will believe the second thing is true. A good politician will tell you a few things that are true before he will tell you a few things that are untrue, because you will then believe all the things he has said, true and untrue.
Well, look, I was a political consultant for many years, and, you know, what do Democrats stand for? You're going to have better education, you're going to have peace, you're going to have health care, you're going to have these things, and do we deliver them is the question. So,
well, but it's also what I quoted earlier. His philosophy was negative, 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 and we have seen time and time again how often, not always, but how often, that approach wins.
Well,
that's certainly what got Trump elected.
But some people are waking up, including Clay Aiken. Now, you may remember that he ran for Congress and lost.
In North Carolina.
And he defended Trump against charges of racism. And he gave a press conference, and he said, after all this racism out of Charlottesville, I'm an effing dumbass, is what he said. That's what he said.
Well, good for him.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you see the story about Richard Simmons?
No.
Oh, Richard Simmons is suing.
He's come out of hiding.
No,
to,
Richard Simmons is suing because because of the National Enquirer did a story on him being in transition.
Yes.
And he's saying this is libelous because transgender is bad. Why is? How do we know it's bad? Because of Trump's transgender ban, showing that there is not societal acceptance.
Oh,
this
please.
Is cited in the court papers.
I would run right into court and say, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff defended the trans soldiers.
And speaking of anti-gay bigots, Carl Paladino, who ran for governor of New York against Andrew Cuomo years ago, very anti-LGBT, racist, horrible guy, but he got elected to the school board in Buffalo, and they couldn't get him off all the racism that he was espousing against Obama and everything like that.
Well, oh, terrible. Terrible stuff.
He exposed something that was spoken about in executive session, and he has been removed by the state.
There's always a way.
And then there's, you know, all right, so right now it's all about let's remove all the statues and all the horrible things.
Yeah.
So they have all these people in New York. They want to remove this statue in Central Park.
They're desperate to remove something.
Honoring J. Marion Sims, who was apparently the father of gynecology, but also performed experiments without anesthesia on African-American enslaved people.
No good.
So they're pushing the Parks Department to remove them. But some of the people who were there at this press conference opposing him, they're not opposing Ruben Diaz Sr. to be elected, a live anti-LGBT bigot, to the city council in the Bronx. So let's focus on what's going on here, too.
And even though that sounds a little local, we can extrapolate
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Let's stand. Want to stand up for justice? Let's all be consistent.
Well, I'm happy to see the governor of Louisiana is standing up for justice. He is going to appeal the court order that disallowed his executive order trying to outlaw discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity for state employees. So thank you for pursuing that, Governor.
All right, let's talk about some of the violent stories that
yes.
we have. The 17th murder of a transgender woman this year is Guinevere River Song, 26 years old, in Waxahachie.
Texas.
Yes. Died after being shot following an argument with another individual.
Rumored to be
father.
Her father
yes.
at home.
She
26
song
years
identified
old.
Identified as femandrogyne. Okay, I have to learn these new words.
Yeah. Well,
in St. Louis, protesters took to the street over this. This is a very horrible story. A transgender person named Kiwi Herring, 30, died at the hands of the St. Louis police. There was a big argument in the building. There was a lot of, she was knife wielding at the time, but they shot her dead when they came in on this. And, you know,
I kind of wish cops would carry nets to throw over.
They do
people.
In Great Britain, and they contain these things.
Yeah.
And,
they,
you know, when somebody's coming at you with a knife, if they threw a net over them, that would stop it. Obviously, the Kiwi was in a complete state of distress over what? But they just opened fire, striking multiple times and dead on the scene. I mean, she did injure one of the cops with the knife.
Yeah. We also want to mourn the death, but more importantly, celebrate the life of
yes.
trans pioneer and hero, Holly Boswell.
Yes.
66 years old, died of heart failure. She was one of the first to use the word transgender, and she created a symbol to explicate the variety of genders available.
Well, Boswell said that what she came up with is that there are as many genders as there are people. Think about that.
She was a co-creator of the Southern Comfort Conference, which is a huge annual trans conference.
Back in 1986, co-founded Asheville, North Carolina's Phoenix Transgender Support Group.
And she's survived by her widow, Jennifer Barge, and her son, Evan.
Yes,
very sad.
On our condolences.
66, much too soon.
To her survivor.
And I also, just harking back to what you said about the Richard Simmons story, You didn't see the ABC show this week, What Would You Do?
No, I read about it.
Yeah.
Go
well,
ahead.
It's
Tell
not a show
it.
I mostly like, but I saw that
popular.
They were doing this. Yeah, and John Quijonas.
Yes.
And they set up situations where something bad is happening, and then they have hidden cameras, and they watch whether bystanders intervene or not. So this was a trans woman in a dress store with a young female clerk trying to stop her from buying a dress. You don't belong in here. Leave here. You're going to ruin the dresses. Go away. And the customers now... It's a TV show. They're very selective in who they show. But what they showed was a 100% support for the trans woman. Each customer that they showed looked at what was going on and chose to intervene. They didn't have to intervene. They chose to step forward and intervene. They lectured the clerk about how inappropriate she was and said, you know, everybody deserves to live and be free, and she's not doing anything wrong, and she's a woman, and how dare you talk to her like this. One customer left the store and came back in to made a decision to come back and intervene. It was really quite heartwarming. And this was, I think, suburban New Jersey or something. This was not in the middle of Manhattan.
This is not in the middle of a Trump rally.
Not at all. I'm not suggesting that this is universal, but it was a heartening model. And appearing on a network primetime show was a model for the country,
too. It's not unique to them, but the Tyler Clementi Foundation, which fights bullying, they talk about you need to be an upstander, not a bystander. Or, as they say on the New York City subways, if you see something, say something.
Well, there's no telling, because they didn't tell us, how many people didn't react or walked away or said something negative. But what they showed was uniformly supportive, and I thought a great message.
And we have a judge in Brooklyn supporting Jabbar Campbell. Now, this African-American gay man was having a party, and the police came, and
2013, a pride party at his house.
And they accused him of all kinds of misconduct, and it was, in fact, the police that were engaged in a brutal beating of him. We do have a picture of him. And so the judge in the case, this is a 2013 case, but the judge said, look, this, you know, you are not guilty of anything. Let's let the civil suit against the city proceed, which is going to cost the taxpayers of New York a pretty penny for the misconduct of the police in this case.
He was, as Andy said, brutally beaten, fag bashed. They conducted an illegal search of his house. So
mocked him with anti-gay slurs.
He went through dozens of surgeries. So he is suing, and the judge's decision here was that they did not have to have a trial about what happened, that he was making a peremptory decision that the police had acted illegally, and told the jury that they would proceed directly to a consideration of the damages that were appropriate. So that's the trial that will take place now, is to discuss the amount of damages.
Yes. On the issues of false arrest, battery, and malicious prosecution.
They also tampered with cameras in the area.
That's right.
And they have pictures of the cops reaching up to the cameras to turn them off or change their direction so that they would not capture what was happening.
Nay, nay.
Yeah, nay, nay. And I would like to have the same thing happen to the cops in Martin County, Florida, Port St. Lucie. They have spent 2 months conducting a sting to uncover sexual activity by men in a park. Now they had to have hidden cameras to find it.
You wouldn't believe what we saw.
Yeah, I would believe it. But perhaps if you had simply had a patrol person or two in the area, you could have prevented all this and not had to arrest 45 men and put their pictures in the newspaper.
The fact is, look, the vast majority of men who engage in any of this kind of activity, public sex, know how to be discreet and cover up, and not, unless you go looking for it, you are not going to find it.
You know, one of the complaints by the cops was, you know, there were families in that park, and some of them walked by right after this happened.
Yes.
After.
So they're not. In other words, these aren't based on genuine complaints.
No.
They're based on we want to get the fags.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. And it's an outrage that it still happens. But you know, after they got rid of the sodomy laws back in 2003, completely in this country, police stepped up these kinds of prosecutions. Same thing happened in England when they started to decriminalize. They don't want to give up on their homophobia.
And neither does the Cherry Creek Mortgage Company and United Healthcare. Cherry Creek, I used to live in Cherry Creek, Colorado, a suburb of Denver, and that is where the Cherry Creek Mortgage Company is headquartered. But they have offices around the country, evidently. And an out lesbian worked for them. And she married her partner and applied for health insurance coverage from the company which she had worked for, and they denied it.
Well, I think she had it at first, and then when she tried to renew it, they said, no, we're a Christian company. This goes against our policies.
Your marriage.
They're using the Hobby Lobby decision to try to do this. But the question is, can you, and cost her thousands and thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. And United Healthcare went along with this.
Yes.
So,
you know, we don't get involved in these disputes.
Yeah, it's the company's decision. So the point is that the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision, which was a disaster, what had happened a couple of years ago.
It's that chain, a chain of stores that doesn't want to provide reproductive coverage for their employees.
Contraceptive for their coverage for their employees. What the Supreme Court said was, you don't have to be a religious organization to be exempt from these laws. You just have to have owners who are religious and who don't want to go along with any non-discrimination policy, and then you're fine if it's a closely held family company. So we'll see how far that extends, because these lesbians are suing the company.
Keep this up, America, and there will be blood in the streets and the divisions that you're creating with these kinds of decisions.
Well, you know, this is going to be one of these whose ox is gored situations, because this is going to spread farther and farther, and it's going to affect more and more people. And then we'll see whether people stand up.
And you know, I suppose there'll be some retaliation. There'll be some gay businesses that say, you know, where they say, we don't want to serve you because we don't, you know, whatever.
I think we threaten that, but I don't think we really do that, because that's not what we're into.
That's true. We're too nice.
don't impugn gay businesses.
I'm just saying, you could turn these things on their heads.
Well, there was
start
once.
Saying, we don't serve people who pray at the table.
I remember one case of some straight person who sued for being fired from a job at a gay bar. And we support the straight person. They shouldn't be fired for their sexual orientation.
Well, but
it was one case.
Some non-gay man this week wandered into a Berlin gay sex club this week and wrote a very long Yelp review of how horrified he was by what he saw. He certainly looked at it for a long time.
A long time.
All right. Now,
better news.
Well, okay, I was going to go to one more bad news story.
Okay, you can.
Well,
do that.
We haven't talked about this guy in the Bronx of New York who was busted for threatening to repeatedly rape and murder the city council speaker Melissa Mark Viverito.
Oh, he's going after everyone, and he's a nutcase.
Well, but the reason it's relevant to us is that he also sent out a note to the head of the Gay Officers Action League, Brian Downey, saying that he was going to kill all the gay cops in the
city.
He's
a crazy person.
Well, so is the president of the United States.
He's a person with mental illness.
$50,000 bond.
Mental illness, yes. And is that a segue to Jerry Lewis? Jerry Lewis died. But there wasn't really much mention in his obituaries, his extensive and admiring obituaries of his homophobia.
I participated in raising money for the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon when I was 10.
Probably before he made his faggot remarks on the telethon.
I wouldn't have known what it was.
Or his racist and misogynist jokes. And he was very politically right-wing, just so you know. But congratulations to Katie Sowers. She is an out lesbian who is now an assistant coach for the San Francisco 49ers football team.
Yes. This is the not only the first openly LGBT coach in the NFL, but in male sports.
Male professional sports,
yes. Well, yes.
She is a coach working with the wide receivers of the 49ers. OutSports did an extensive interview with her. Here's what disappointed me, though. They asked her about her whole background and growing up. She has a twin. They both played women's football. But they didn't ask her about football and concussions and any of that. And I think it's...
Football should be banned.
Well, I think it's inappropriate to do any kind of interview like that these days and not raise those issues.
Well, in terms of being open, she says, there are so many people who identify as LGBT in the NFL, as in any business, that do not feel comfortable being public about their sexual orientation, i.e. none of them.
Well, there's a new NFL Pride affinity group. Started by a couple of gay employees of the NFL, which is supposed to exist to heighten sensitivity and reinforce an inclusive environment. But all this is happening while Colin Kaepernick can't get a job as a quarterback, formerly of the 49ers, because of his political actions.
And yet more players are making gestures
against... Yeah, well, that's this year. Let's see what happens when their contracts come up for renewal and whether they'll be renewed.
What would you do?
I would be joining them and taking a knee. And I was sorry to read that he, Colin Kaepernick, looking for a job still, said, I'll stand during the national anthem this year. That was sad.
Well, not sad is what the Stonewall Democratic Club of New York did this week. I mean, and I think more clubs need to do this. Obviously, you want to know the record of somebody when they're running, and Adonis Rodriguez is a council member, and they endorsed him, but then he endorsed the anti-gay bigot I mentioned, Ruben Diaz, and they actually met to rescind their endorsement. We've got to stop people from supporting these other people. Say, well, you know, he's good on other issues. Well, this is a disqualifier, I think.
We will never have any respect in these arenas if we don't have some values and stick to them.
And I don't expect to support the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, in any respect either, but they issued a statement applauding something called the Love Loud Festival for LGBT Youth, and because of its aim to bring together to address teen safety and to express respect and love for all of God's children. Now, these are religions, of course, that don't respect us, but...
Actively fight against our right to marry, throw gay people out of the church. So it's a little hard to read what's going on there.
All right.
But meanwhile, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus has announced that they're going to do a week's tour through the South, through small towns in Mississippi and Alabama and other places. It's called the Lavender Pen Tour, and they're going to raise money for local nonprofits and be involved in the community. So if you're in that area, you might want to check out where the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus is appearing.
Well, maybe they should go down...
October 7th through 15th.
Maybe they should go down to Auburn High School in Auburn, Alabama, because they had a rainbow flag up there for a little while for something, for the group called the Educate Club, which promotes diversity around these kinds of issues. And 270 people signed a petition, outraged. They compare it to the Confederate flag, as they are coming to do these days. And but
I
then
guess
40...
all those statues of LGBT heroes will come down, too.
Yes. They proved Strom Thurmond was a rapist, and they didn't take his statue down.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, but 4,200 people signed a petition supporting the rainbow flag at the high school. We should talk about some other losses. We should talk about Dick Gregory.
Okay.
He's 84. I heard him speak at the University of Virginia when I was a kid and was entranced. But I thought he was a very, very funny guy. But, I mean, when he was at UVA, he was about this thin because he was on a hunger strike over the Vietnam War. And he made a lot of jokes about how people send him hate mail about what they had for dinner and that he had a clause in his contract that he could walk off if the war ended. But, I mean, he threw himself into civil rights tremendously. And this comedian who wrote an op-ed piece in the Times said, people always ask me why I travel so much, and I tell them the fight for freedom is out there. It ain't in my house. So that was his spirit. He was a tremendous groundbreaker. Bill and I saw a play about him last mm-hmm. year, one-man show.
I was sorry to miss it.
And just, one of the greats.
Yep. All right. Can we move on to international news?
More in the passing of the Village Voice. They will no
it
longer have
passed.
A print edition. Well,
no still more, online.
No more print edition.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. International news. Well, the big news is Australia, where they are moving towards having this postal advisory vote on same-sex marriage.
Non-binding.
The idea is
millions of dollars.
The idea is that Parliament, the leaders of the government, the current government, which is a coalition of sort of conservatives and right-wingers, is too scared to have a Parliament vote. So they want to get the population to demand that they have a vote so they can get away with legalizing same-sex marriage.
So as predicted,
but the left wing, yes. The Labor Party, did not want this postal vote, in part because they knew that it would devolve into horrible homophobic literature being all over.
Let's put up that poster that's been put up by the right wing. It says, stop the fags and it treats us all as child molesters who are going to...
Those are rainbow belts.
Damage children. Now, they can do... they're condemning this, the conservatives who put this thing up, but this is what we said was going to happen,
exactly.
And this is what is happening.
And immediately, now the ballots are not even being sent out to the population for another 3 weeks, September 12th, and they're due back on November 7th, but immediately, there's no name, by the way, on that poster taking responsibility, and
the other side's accusing us of doing it.
Well, we're accusing neo-Nazis of doing
course.
It. Take your pick.
But the thing is that there's still an opportunity in court on September 5th and 6th. They're going to be arguing this in court, that this postal vote is invalid and should not take place.
So the leader of the Labor Party in Parliament, Bill Shorten, gave a very strong speech in Parliament about how horrible this campaign is and how illegitimate. And we were impressed by the speech, so we thought you might want to see it.
Minister, I loathe the trolls and the haters, but I expected more from him. I hold you responsible for every hurtful bit of filth that this debate will unleash. Not because the Prime Minister has said it, not because he agrees to it, he clearly doesn't, but because the Prime Minister has licensed this debate. You are the leader, Mr. Turnbull. You have given permission. I will never hold you in the same light ever again. I hold the Prime Minister responsible, and the Australians will too. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Deputy Speaker, LGBTI Australians have every right to feel let down by their Parliament today. Every right to consider this postal survey the latest in a long line of insults. I don't blame them for that. I can understand that an LGBTI person receiving a survey with the Australian coat of arms on the corner of the envelope, asking everyone else to decide if you are equal, I wouldn't blame you if you just wanted to chuck that in the bin. But let me say to you, that is what they want you to do. The strongest supporters of this survey have always been the most vocal opponents of marriage equality. They've stacked the deck against young people, against expats, against Australians who support equality but regard this vote as a waste of time. The opponents of marriage equality have set this process up to fail. But we cannot let illegitimate tactics deter us. We cannot sit on the sidelines. I understand the sense of frustration and betrayal by the Parliament for LGBTI Australians, but the most powerful act of resistance is to vote yes for equality. Maintain your hope, maintain your enthusiasm. Vote yes and make sure that your friends and relatives and colleagues and classmates and teammates vote yes too. Get your name on the electoral roll today. Make your voice heard. Voting yes is not about endorsing this illegitimate process. It's about refusing to walk past our fellow Australians when they need us. This is my message for business leaders, for sporting clubs, for the union movement, for community groups. It is time now to get involved. It's time to organise and fight for equality. This survey is costly. This survey is unnecessary. This survey places unfair pressure on one group of Australians to justify their relationships. This survey is a political contrivance from a Prime Minister who spends all his time counting news polls. This survey denies the Parliament the chance to lead. We didn't need a survey to tell us to say sorry. We led in this Parliament. We did the right thing. The community backed us. This $122 million survey denigrates the Parliament. It risks putting Australia in a hell of a place, further behind the rest of the world. But there is one thing this survey will not do. It will not change Labor's support for marriage equality. Yeah. If Prime Minister...
Very nice speech indeed, and very strong. Although some on even on our side have criticized it by when he says things, the filth that this debate will unleash, and the characterization of people who do not support same-sex marriage.
He's talking about posters like "Stop the Fags."
I understand, but he has also made statements that have characterized the other side completely
as deplorable.
Yes, yes. And that can be a problem. And P.S., the Labor Party had a chance to do this, but Julia Gillard, who led the Labor Party in the Parliament, was the Prime Minister for some unbelievable reason. Basically because she sort of didn't like the institution of marriage, period, because she was a feminist leader, did not do it when they had the chance.
Yeah. Well, I still like his speech, and I'd be happy to have him as our president.
Well, the polling is—we're wondering about the polling. One poll says 63% favor, another 57%. It's dicey because we don't know who's going to vote.
Well, but the good news is that it appears that a lot of new people are signing up as voters so that they can vote yes on this. A lot of young people are signing up. They were afraid that young people would not get involved in postal voting because none of them have stamps. There are more optimistic things like that happening. And when you have the archbishops of Australia threatening to fire any employees of the church
Catholic
who get married.
Catholic archbishops.
Yes.
Yes. Fire teachers, nurses, anybody who works for a Catholic institution. You get married, you're going to be fired.
Wait
a minute. This is the church headed by Cardinal Pell. In Australia,
who was a child molester?
Well, we don't know yet. He's
accused
of that.
Yes.
Now, and of course, the Conservatives are also criticizing the head of Qantas, who is campaigning for same-sex marriage, and they're saying, you shouldn't be using the company that way. I guess it's somewhat government subsidized. But he vowed to.
You know that corporate leaders are our new heroes?
Yes, this guy got hit in the face with a lemon meringue pie for his support for same-sex marriage.
Yum.
Pride events
around the world.
With any luck, it'll come true that the Liberal Party, which is the Conservative Party that is headed by Malcolm Turnbull, will suffer political consequences
for putting us through all this. If this vote excites actual liberals, not Liberal Party members, that can mean real trouble for him and his coalition in the next election,
right,
because there will be more people to the left on the rolls, and they may have some unintended consequences of conducting this postal survey.
Now, sort of in line with what the Mormon Church was doing here, the British Catholic schools have set up this big outreach to stop bullying against LGBT people in their schools. I mean, now, of course, you could solve a lot of it by saying gay is good. We're marrying gay people. Mm-hmm. We're letting open lesbians be the Pope, et cetera.
But we're ahead of our time, Andy. All this will happen down the road.
I don't know. I've seen things get a lot worse in the last year.
Well,
let's talk about Northern Ireland.
Okay. Well, I was wrong on this. I thought the court in Northern Ireland, which was hearing the case for same-sex marriage, would declare any laws against it unconstitutional, and we would sail through, as we have in other jurisdictions like our own, to the legalization of same-sex marriage there, because it is legal in England and Wales and Scotland, but not in Northern Ireland.
It's stalled by the what's called the DUP, the Conservative Protestant Party.
Yes,
in Northern Ireland. Not the Catholics.
Yeah. They had a majority for it in the Northern Ireland legislature, but they have a system where the minority can veto something, and they did.
But they don't have any system right now.
Yes.
I mean, because they can't form a government at the moment, and therefore people are sort of calling on Theresa May, because things revert to essentially to Parliament and down in London there, and that's what they want to happen.
They want her to facilitate the legalization of same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland, which may be the next step, because the judge in the case said, I am not, as a court, going to decide this. It must be a political decision by the legislature. So get out of here. You lose here. And I was a little shocked at that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Chile, President Michelin Bachelet will introduce legalization of same-sex marriage next week on the 28th of August. Full equal marriage rights.
She gets 4 stars from me, but she's not Michelin. She's Michelle.
I'm sorry.
That's all
Thank
right.
you. I knew as I said it. I didn't have it written down. I just had Bachelet written down.
You did very well with that.
I knew I was screwing that up.
Because I wasn't going to say her name. I was waiting for you to say her name.
I sounded authoritative, but I was wrong.
But she's
a warning to all of us.
And, you know, there were worries about what this bill would have in it, and it's sounding better and better as it goes along. But we'll see what they do.
On the other hand, in Guyana, churches led hundreds of people in a march against homosexuality.
And in Pakistan, they've got this package of bills for transgender folks that sounds really great. But if you read the lives of transgender folks in Pakistan, it is very constricted.
Well, you know, it's always the debate about is our laws enough, our guidelines, or whatever. To really penetrate the culture is a whole other thing, as we know from our experience here in our own country. But it's better than nothing, and it's a model, and it's a step ahead.
And it's certainly better in Montreal during their Pride March. Not just the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, in the picture, he's the one with the white pants, but the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, who was openly gay in the tan pants there.
They can't see the pants. Leo, the Prime Minister of Ireland, regular Ireland, not Northern Ireland, is in the middle. Is that his husband on the left?
I think
it might be.
Maybe. We never know.
I don't know.
He likes to travel. I mean, this guy only came out a few years ago, but he's really throwing himself into the gay stuff.
Maybe that wasn't his husband, as I remember pictures. On the other hand, other Pride celebrations, not so successful. In Uganda, they had to cancel Pride, although they did hold a small secret party, because the government sent out the state militia to surround the projected Pride venues.
And Frank Mugisha, who's been on this show, who's one of the gay leaders of the country, made a plea to the West to help in this case. You know, they don't always do that, because they have these indigenous movements. But they want to press forward, and they need the help of the international community. Otherwise, the persecution will increase in Uganda.
And in St. Petersburg, Russia, they did hold a Pride event on August 12th, but it was attacked by thugs. There were beatings, there was pepper spray, and the cops stood by and ignored
it. Well, here's the excuse of the young people who were protesting. They saw sexual attraction towards themselves in the eyes of the marching LGBT activists, and they felt threatened. Oh, my God.
It's really unbelievable.
And they've been going after feminist activists over there as well.
Yeah. Now, a couple of divergent stories on asylum. A Nigerian activist, Adoronke Apata, founder of the African Rainbow Family in Nigeria, has finally gotten asylum in Britain after 13 years.
Wow.
They wouldn't believe she was a lesbian. For 13 years. I don't know how she finally convinced them. And she was an activist in Nigeria, but now she finally has asylum. But
an LGBT activist in Libya, who does not want to be named, has been granted asylum in Germany.
He fled ISIS in Benghazi with his partner and got asylum in Germany a lot faster than Adaranke.
All the guys being thrown off the buildings by ISIS. Trump used you in the campaign to get votes and has done nothing for you but ban you from this country.
And a strange little story from Romania, where an Orthodox bishop has been forced to resign when video became public of him having sex with what's described as a male student. Now, you can see the video online.
Oh.
It's a little grainy. Oh, you didn't see it?
I didn't watch the video.
I watched the video. But first of all, the male student is not a 10-year-old. He's got to be at least 18 and maybe older. It looked very consensual and very adult. I think it's just that he was having sex with they're clothed. It's not a naked video. They may be moving towards that. But the fact that it's male-male sex, I think, was the problem, not an age difference.
Because the patriarch of the Romanian Orthodox Church has said, the church rejects unclean love in order to promote and protect holy love.
My question is, who took the video? Romanian Orthodox bishop video.
Maybe,
that's what you can
and Malta is going to give free access to transition-related health care.
Yes, that's
and,
nice.
And we got Chile. And,
all right, AIDS news. Gilead Pharmaceutical Company has come out with a new report that says 136,000 people are using Truvada, which they manufacture.
85% men, 15% women.
Mostly white men over the age of 25. So young men and men of color, women of color, are not so much using
it. The average age of those who start PrEP is 38 among men and 35 among women.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. But
The use is rising, and that's good.
And this is coming out of the International HIV Conference. An estimated 70%. This is a good statistic, I hope. An estimated 70% of the global HIV population have been diagnosed at this point, they say.
I always wonder how they would know that.
77% of those diagnosed are on the treatment, and 82% of those on the treatment have a fully suppressed viral load, according to this for these findings.
70% of the diagnosed are on treatment, Well, I wonder about those numbers. How do you know how many are undiagnosed if they're undiagnosed? How? Do you have an answer to that?
I think some of it has to do with you came in and you were undiagnosed and, you know.
They're not surveying the whole population.
No.
Also, the film that won the Grand Prix in Cannes, 120 beats per minute, is opening in France this week. It's the story of ACT UP Paris, made by a former member of ACT UP Paris.
We're going to see it on Monday.
But
we're not going to tell you about it until October,
it
opens here.
It doesn't open until October, but it looks like they're changing the name for the American showing. The original title is 120 beats per minute, which is a higher heart rate than normal and is meant to convey energy and excitement or stress or terror or whatever. But in the U.S., it's just going to be called BPM or beats per minute.
Okay.
I don't know why they knocked off the 120.
We've only got another minute. We want to mourn the loss of Stuart Thompson, 62, Broadway producer, openly gay, survived by his husband, Joseph Roland Baker. He produced the three longest-running plays of the past 25 years. He won Tonys for The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, Skylight, Death of a Salesman, Book of Mormon, God of Carnage, and Proof. So he was a tremendously accomplished producer.
And we really liked the Michael Moore show.
Yes. His message is Anne's message. Do something. It was a combination stand-up comedy show and a call to arms.
It's 2 hours without intermission. I thought it certainly would have benefited from being a little shorter, but I was surprised at how much I liked it. I don't like all his movies, and I was a little trepidatious, but I really ended up liking him and liking the show, and I would highly recommend Michael Moore's show.
Tune in next week for casting news on Evan Hansen.
Okay. We'll see you then.